Hope you're enjoying the sounds of the season here on Moody Radio. We got a mixture of Christmas hymns and Christmas music that maybe not the hymns, but are just those songs near and dear to our heart as well. We're going to be talking about that this morning. We've got Mark Echols with us again, part two, talking about Christmas hymns. And Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, you know, as I think about Christmas hymns, there are a couple that just really speak to my heart. And one of those is O Holy Night, that, you know, fall on your knees, and that whole worship thing is, to me, it's just very meaningful. In Christmas hymns, Christmas songs, many of them have that emotional part. But I think as you've been talking with Kelly and then we're talking today, there needs to be a different feel, maybe a better tie-in, or there is a tie-in to scripture and things like that. Let's talk about that. How do Christmas hymns link us to Christ and salvation?
Yes, and I'm so happy that you mentioned O Holy Night, because that's actually the answer to this question, I think, which is the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. Fall to your knees. Long lay the world in sin and error pining until he appeared. The connection to scripture here is really powerful. Ephesians 3:14, where Paul is giving this mighty prayer, and he says, "For this reason, I fall to my knees before the Father so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And this, for this reason is the gospel. That is, Jesus has come in chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. So Ephesians 3:14, fall to my knees before the Father, O Holy Night. That certainly is the connection there. And I absolutely agree with your emotional connection to that, because indeed, if we are in sin and error pining, we desperately need to fall to our knees.
Do you think that churches are maybe not doing as many hymns these days because they want to make sure they're more seeker friendly? You know, what do you think is going on with this? Because I don't feel like we're doing all the hymns we used to years ago.
Sure, that may well be the case. Your connection there to seeker emphases. I think always, you know, the church, the reason for meeting in church. To begin with, the reason why we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ is to reconnect, recommit ourselves to what we believe, the emotional recommitment to this, but also our connection to doctrine and what is true, scripture teaches. And I think that's what the church needs to be doing, is teaching these things, and certainly we can do that through hymns.
Now, are a lot of these hymns older, and they seem a little more more depth in their theology? We've kind of gotten away with that, but is that something that was necessary back in the early church?
Oh, my, yes. The connection to the hymnology of the early church is huge. Places like Colossians chapter 3, for instance, tell us that we are to use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to connect us to the good teaching that we have received. And, of course, this goes all the way back to First Testament teaching and the Psalms. The Psalms were the Israelites' hymnal, and we certainly see those kinds of things coming back to us in the New Testament times.
Well, are we missing the boat, do you think, Mark? Or are we doing pretty good with connecting with the Christmas hymns?
Well, you know, it depends on the church that you go to, I think. Some reference the hymns that are important to them. They want to connect to people, and they make those hymns connecting to folks outside in the culture. Other particular churches want to make sure that we remember those things that we have been taught in Scripture, and hence the need to connect Christmas hymns to Scripture. This is a valuable and important idea.
So what should they produce in us?
What should they produce in us? Yeah. Man, I'm thinking about Joy to the World here. This is an important idea. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. When Isaac Watts wrote this, of course, he was the famous hymn writer, also wrote When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. He's linking this back to Luke chapter 2, where this royal announcement is given by the angel. I bring you good news of great joy. So our production in us, the production in us should be great joy, this reception that we have in our hearts for what Christ has done for us.
Well, what got your interest in this? You know, we're talking about this. What caused you to think, well, we need to look more at these Christmas hymns?
Well, frankly, I think there is such a disconnect, I think, with Scripture in our world generally today, and certainly in many churches. And so when I think about a famous hymn like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, I think about this line, Christ our Savior is born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. When we think about what does Scripture teach us about these kinds of things, I think about 1 John 3:8. John says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. This is a direct connection back to this hymn, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. And of course, direct connection back to the book of Genesis, where this is actually announced in Genesis 3:15, that Christ would come to destroy the works of the devil. So these kinds of ideas that come out of hymns to save us all from Satan's power is important to connect us to Scripture, important to remind us of the great doctrines of the church, and important to sing. This is huge.
We often will sing like the first verse and the chorus and maybe the last verse, but a lot of these Christmas hymns go deep in these verses we're not familiar with.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking, of a famous hymn that we don't really sing all that much. So I'm thinking about what should we do having heard these hymns. I'm thinking about Good King Wenceslas. So for those who might not remember the tune, it goes like this. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. It's a very famous old tune.
Yes.
And it was actually sung the day after Christmas to show generosity to the poor. That's the reference to the Feast of Stephen. Literally, the Feast of Stephen was giving leftovers to the poor. This is a big idea. Well, where did this song originate? Well, think about what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, 34 to 40. He says, I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me in. I was naked, you clothed me. And of course, this famous line, he ends by saying, if you did this to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me, in Matthew chapter 25. So these great hymns connect us back to Scripture. And this is very valuable for the church to remind us of our responsibilities, not just in terms of thinking about Jesus' birth, but now what does Jesus' birth produce in us? That's huge and an important idea. And really happy to come on Moody Radio today to help emphasize that kind of idea.
This is probably new to many of our listeners. They haven't thought of the depth of this for some of us who have been around for a while. We understand this. Mark, do you have this in a blog on your webpage, something that people can read about if we put that on our Facebook page for them?
You bet. So later on today, this will come up. If folks want to go to my webpage, it's warpandwoof.org. That's warpandwoof.org. And there, part one of this is actually up on the website. You'll see it under hymns. But later on today, you'll see part two, and we'll emphasize these kinds of concepts there later today. And of course, the radio interview that we are doing right now will be up on our website as well.
Talking with Dr. Mark Eckel, he's president of Comenius Institute of Indianapolis, and I hope this challenged you a little bit. If you're newer in the faith and you're thinking, yeah, kind of these Christmas hymns and things, but, it's just been kind of tradition, there's some great depth to many of these, as we've just hinted at here. And for those of us who have been around for quite a while, Mark, it's a good reminder. Don't just sing these as we're standing in church. Let the words bathe our hearts, because it can change
us. Absolutely. This is a connection to Scripture that should never be lost. And so when we teach these kinds of hymns to our churches and to our children, these kinds of ideas are really important and powerful to us, and they connect us to the next generation from the last generation, so that we might not lose the great hope of Jesus who has come to save us. We emphasize that during this season of the year.
Well, great. Dr. Eckel, thanks for taking time this morning to give us part two. And that's going to be posted on his webpage a little bit later today. And we'll connect you with that if you go to our webpage, or actually on Facebook. It's warpandwoof.org, warpandwoof.org. But if you're driving, can't remember that, we're going to get that posted on our Facebook page. And you can connect from there. Dr. Eckel, thank you for joining us today, and hope you and your family have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here celebrating this with you today on Moody Radio, and blessings on your day and the holiday as well.
Oh, thank you so much. That's Dr. Mark Eckel, and again, we'll connect you with his webpage And you can read about this. Part one is already on. Part two a little bit later today.